You know what fans do? Fans will show up every time there's a game. They're season ticket holders.
Dr. Tony Evans says there's a big difference between being a fan and being a friend, especially when it comes to knowing the Lord.
God's fans will applaud for him. That don't mean you know him.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. No matter what you set out to accomplish in life, there's no pursuit more important than the one Dr. Evans will begin telling us about today. Let's join him.
Over the Christmas holidays, an acquaintance of mine invited me and some of the members of my family over to his place to skeet shoot. I'm sure you know skeets are little clay discs that are flung out with a machine into the air, and you take a shotgun and try to shoot it out of the air. Now, I've not tried to shoot skeet or anything else, but it seemed like it would be something interesting to do, and so went over to skeet shoot at his place one afternoon, and he handed me the shotgun and told me how the thing works, and I put it up against my shoulder as everybody backed up. And I proceeded to consistently miss my target. Now, I was in the right place because I was where he told me the skeet shooting would occur. I had the right tool because I had a shotgun in order to shoot the skeet out of the air. But I wasn't making a connection. In other words, I was in the right place. I had the right stuff, but I wasn't getting done what I was there for. I was not achieving my goal. He proceeded to come over to me and he said, let me be of some assistance. He says, when the skeet, the clay disc, is shot out, because it is moving at such a rapid pace, when you line your rifle up to it, you want to get a foot to 2 feet in front of it so that when the pellets arrive, they arrive near the time that the disc is coming at it. So you're pointing at it, and by the time you get there, it's gone. So you got to get in front of it so that when it arrives, you're there. Taking just a little bit of advice from somebody who knew what they were talking about, I shot my first skeet out of the air. You see, I was in the right place and I had the right stuff, but I wasn't doing it the right way. And therefore, I was not achieving what I was there for. All of you who are here, you're in the right place. And you've got the right stuff. You've carried a Bible or have access to the Word of God. You've got the basic tool, but something is missing. The target of why you're here is not being hit. It's not because you didn't come. It's not because you're insincere, because that's a whole different sermon for a whole different category. But something is missing. And you don't quite know what it is. Today, I want to talk to you about life's greatest pursuit, the knowledge of God. Let me ask you a question. How well do you know God? Now, some people don't know him at all. Those are the unconverted. They don't know him. But then there are others who know him casually. There's this casual acquaintance with God. They can reference him. They believe in him. So there's a casuality to their knowledge of God. Other people know him informationally. They can talk about him. In fact, they may talk about him regularly. They may have read enough about him. They may have heard enough sermons about him. They may have studied enough books about him. that they can give a in-depth description that's relatively sound on who God is. Others know him religiously. They can tell you how it feels when the Holy Ghost gets all over them. They can describe emotively the feeling God gives them. Other people know God in a way that's programmatic, because they're doing the program thing. They connect that with the knowledge of God. But none of that is what I am talking about. Now, it may include a number of things. It certainly will include your intellect. It will include your emotions. But that's not what I mean by knowing God. When a man sees a lady that captures his imagination and says to her, "What's your name? I want to get to know you." It begins with an introduction, but an introduction is not his goal. He now wants some more information, but information is not his goal. It's necessary, but that's not where he's going. Because that information is designed, based on his interest, to lead to a relationship, so that they begin to date and to see each other and start talking on the phone. The facts have now moved to a whole nother level. Feelings are now involved, having gained more facts. And then one day he says, "Will you marry me?" And if she says yes, they get married and they go on their honeymoon. And assuming they have waited until they have gotten married, on that night, he gets to know her. You see, that's why the Bible says, Adam knew Eve and she conceived. The Bible talks about, people talk about knowing in the biblical sense, meaning sex. That is an intertwining of life, an intermingling of being. When God wanted to use a word that describes what he wants with you, he used a sexual word. The same word when Adam knew Eve and she conceived is the very same word that he uses when he says that you know me. So we're not talking about meeting him. We're not talking about gaining information about him. We're not talking about dating him. He is interested in intimacy at the highest level. That's what he's wanting with his people. That's what he's wanting in the relationship. The context of these two verses is very interesting. The concept is the Babylonian captivity, and chaos is ruling in the land. God comes in the midst of this chaos and he gives them these two verses in Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24. He says, "Let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches. But let him who boasts, boast in this, that he understands and knows me." And how relevant are these two verses? Because he starts off by letting them know, y'all are after the wrong thing. And he uses the word boasting. He uses three areas: riches, wisdom, and might. Let's contemporize it. A big bank account, high roller, plenty degrees on the wall, edumacation. But what he says is, if that's all you got to brag about, if that's your claim to fame, he says, you're bragging about the wrong thing. Look at the time and attention that we give to those three things. Those are not casual relationships. Trying to make money, no, that's an 8-hour trip a day plus. Look at the energy given to get the degrees. Look at all the hard work you're putting in to become more mighty in your company, your culture, in your environment. In other words, you invest in that. That's not, I hope it happens. Maybe one day. You'll tell somebody in a minute who plays you wrong, I work hard to get this. You want it to be clear that this was a serious investment. He says, but if that's your claim to fame, he's not condemning having money, having an education, or having success, or might, or power, or prominence. He's not saying those things are wrong. In fact, the Bible says in numbers of occasions, he gives men all three of these things. He's not condemning the having of it. He's condemning it if you have it at the expense of intimacy with God. If you know your bank account, but you don't know God. If you know your degrees, but you don't know God. You know your skills. If you've reached a level where everybody knows you, but you don't know him. It says, let not a wise man boast in his wisdom. Pride in any one of those areas, not having them, but pride in any one of those areas needs to be treated like my beard. I shave it every day. Virtually every day I get up and I put shaving cream on my face because if I don't shave it, it will grow. And if you don't keep riches and education and success in its proper place, it'll grow on you. And if you keep it unshaved, it'll take over. We'll forget what you look like.
When Dr. Evans continues our message in just a moment, he'll tell us more about the difference between really knowing Jesus and just being a fan. But first, this.
Jesus said he came so that you could have life and have it more abundantly. But so many Christians are missing out on this promise. So what's the issue? What's the strategy to living out the fullness of your victory as a child of the King? Find out in Dr. Tony Evans' new book, Knowing God, complete with DVD and study guide. Get your copy at tonyevans.org and discover the full life you were made for.
Today's lesson is the first in Tony's current series that focuses on what it takes to develop a face-to-face relationship with your Heavenly Father. It's called Knowing God, and it's the perfect introduction to the powerful package of resources you just heard about that'll give you both the desire and the direction you need to follow life's greatest pursuit and experience the transformation it brings. Right now, as our thank you gift, when you make a contribution to help keep these essential messages coming to this station, we'll send you all 8 Knowing God lessons on CD and digital download, along with Tony's brand new book on the subject and the interactive study guide and resource DVD that go along with it. This special offer is only available for a short time, so let one of our resource team members help you make the arrangements by calling 1-800-800-3222 any time of the day or night. Again, that's 1-800-800-3222. Or make your contribution and request online right away at tonyevans.org. That's tonyevans.org. And now here's Dr. Evans with more of today's lesson.
I mentioned it earlier, Jesus has a big fan club. You know, fans. There'll be 100,000 of them. They show up to see what's going to happen. That's a fan. The fans will talk about the players. They can give you stats. They can give you information. Haven't met nobody. Haven't met a soul. They'll talk about this player this and this player that and this player that and I think this and I think that. They will give you information. They will read up on it. They will study it, if depending on how serious it is. They will listen to sports talk radio. They will give you the data, but they don't know anybody. They don't know anybody. And Jesus has a lot of fans. See, they'll come to church and they'll fill the auditorium and they'll talk about him. God this and God that and Jesus this and the Holy Ghost that. Don't know nobody. Not that they know him, it's that they're fans. And you know what fans do? Fans will show up every time there's a game. They're season ticket holders. Churches have season ticket holders. Bought my ticket and I'm good for 3 hours unless there's overtime, and I'm going to be there because I'm going to cheer my team, and God's fans will applaud for him. That don't mean you know him. It means you're a fan club. Notice what he says in verse 24. Let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises loving kindness, justice, and righteousness, watch this, on the earth. He's not talking about what he's doing in the heavens. He's talking about what he's doing in the history on earth. It's hard to be intimate with somebody who's not home. It's hard to be intimate with somebody in sleeping in the next room. You can't do that. At least nobody I know can do that. You can't have long distance intimacy. He's saying, I want you to brag about the fact that we have been intimate. You have plunged the depth of my being. Now, let me explain something. If you're going to know somebody who is in another world, God is spirit. That's another world. But he wants to be known in your world, earth. So he's from another world, so to speak. He's immanent, but he's transcendent, and yet he wants to be part of your world, earth. So we're not talking about some pie in the sky. It's when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. That's not what the discussion is here. He says that I am the Lord who is the Lord of loving kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. So to know me is to know how I operate. You know, when you really get to know somebody, you can kind of predict what they're going to do. Because you've gotten to know them, and so you can predict the action and the reaction. You know when it's uh-oh, because you kind of scope them out. You know them. That's why Moses said, I want to know you, show me your ways. We'll look at that passage. I want to know you, so let me see how you operate. When you get to know somebody like that, you get to know their likes, their dislikes, their preferences. You get to know, you know, how they're going to function, how they're not going to function. Why? Because you have gotten to know information that has led to intimacy. But let me explain something here that's throwing us a little curveball in the knowledge of God. If a guy sashays over to a lady and says, I want to get to know you. I want to get to know you. He has an immediate problem on his hands. Once he says, I want to get to know you, he has now an immediate situation. Because now the question is, does she want to be known by you? In other words, to know someone is only as good as their willingness to be known. We call that a revelation. Revelation is where God unveils himself and lets you see what he is like. Revelation is when you're sitting at a play and the curtain is closed. You hear rumbling in the back, so you know something's there, but you don't know quite what it is because there is a veil, a covering that's blocking you seeing what's really there. Until it's time for there to be an unveiling. The curtain opens. Then you see behind the curtain what's really there. So the first thing that you need to know if you want to know God is that God has to unveil himself to you. Now, why do you need to know that if you want to know God? What you presuppose may not be what you wind up with. See, a lot of people approach God and want to impose on him what they want him to be. See, they don't want God to unveil who he is. They want to tell him who they want him to be. Then they get ticked off when they find out he's not like that. If you're going to know God, then God must have the freedom to tell you who he is, to tell you what he likes. And for most people, even Christians, God does not have that freedom. We do not want a God who unveils himself. We want a God who is convenient to us. But then you don't know God. You know the idol you created that you call God. I am the Lord. I say who I am. That's why the knowledge of the attributes or characteristics or perfections of God is so critical, because that's God telling you who he is. And when you relate to God any other way than who he tells you he is, you're no longer relating to the true God. Therefore, you don't get to know him. How many times have you said to somebody, "Don't speak for me. I can speak for myself." If you can do that with people, don't you think God can handle talking for himself? You know God when who he is defines who you are. The discovery is pretty awesome, though, because he says that you will discover my loving kindness. It means if you discover who I am based on who I say I am, the Lord, you will discover how committed I am to you. You will discover my justice, he says. People ought to relate to people based on a divine standard. Then you'll discover my righteousness. That is my standard based on pleasing me. So vertical standard pleasing me, justice, equity among men, all having to do with earth. In other words, the knowledge of God will affect how you think, how you act, how you react. It'll affect how you handle everything fairly, equitably, related, so comprehensive. Let me tell you what's blocking the knowledge of God. When you will not allow God to be God because you want to impose on him something that he does not agree with, that is himself, then he will stop unveiling himself. I want you to be known collectively and individually, you know me, that I'm this kind of God. And in those things I delight.
Dr. Tony Evans, encouraging us to set out on life's greatest pursuit, knowing God. And if that's a path you haven't started following yet, Tony would love to help you get going in the right direction. Just visit TonyEvans.org and follow the link that says Jesus. You'll find some very straightforward information and resources there that can help you get started on a fulfilling and purposeful brand new life. Again, that's TonyEvans.org. Stay with us.
Racial tension in our nation is spreading like wildfire.
Dr. Tony Evans talks about his book, Oneness Embraced.
I wanted to give God's view on race and racism because he has not stuttered on this subject.
Oneness Embraced explains why unity isn't just about getting along, but getting things done.
We don't need more workshops on reconciliation. We need to serve together while we get to know each other along the way.
Oneness Embraced. Get yours today at TonyEvans.org.
And while you're there, don't forget to make the arrangements to receive those powerful resources I mentioned earlier. Tony's brand new book, The Power of Knowing God, the companion study guide and resource DVD, along with all 8 messages from his current series on CD and digital download. This entire Knowing God package is yours as our thank you gift when you make a contribution to help keep this broadcast coming your way each day. Again, this is a limited time offer, so don't put it off. Visit us today at TonyEvans.org to get all the details. You can make your contribution and your request online at TonyEvans.org or call our 24-hour resource request line at 1-800-800-3222 and let one of our team members assist you. That's 1-800-800-3222. We all want to be accepted as we are. Well, tomorrow, Dr. Evans explains why God expects nothing less. I hope you'll join us. The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.